one day at a time.
Blog Talk Radio.
Small steps.
From Fayetteville, North Carolina. Kadita from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Basima Juma. I'm playing from New Jersey. Assalamu alaikum, Mr. Habiba from East Orange, New Jersey. I love you all. Welcome, my sisters.
We love you back.
We
love you back.
No, please go ahead, sister. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
That's okay. Alhamdulillah.
No, please.
I'm Sister Tahita from Oakland, California. Assalamu alaikum, everybody.
It's early on the West Coast, so we definitely wanted to hear from you. Okay, it's 10 o'clock.
Okay, email Omar. Just wait for recording the comments. Let me get you set up.
This meeting is being recorded.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahi rahmani rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the praise belongs to God, the Lord of all systems of knowledge, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the sole judge on the day of judgment. We worship you only and we turn to you begging assistance. Guide us on the straight way, the way of those on whom you bestow blessings, not those who incur your wrath, nor those who go astray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, I bear witness that there is none worth worship besides Allah. I believe in all of Allah's prophets. I believe that Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is his last messenger and a mercy to all mankind. You know, half the year is gone, and we have spent this year on more highlighting the work, the amazing work that's being done by so many in our community across this nation, as we have been in these last 2 months, highlighting the West Coast. I want to thank Sister Amatala Sabri, who has been working very closely with me, and without her, I would not be able to have identified the powerful work that's being done on the West Coast. I want to open that invitation to any of you in regions that have not had the opportunity to share the work that you're doing in your region, your part of the country, the world, here in North America. However, I do want to share that I've been thinking about what will Sayyid al-Islam do in 2025. And what's heavy on my heart in listening to all of you is to know more about the history of Islam and what we practice. What has been passed down from traditions, and what is authentic versus cultural. And so I have COVID, everybody, just so you know, I did catch it. I have a very mild case, but by Allah's mercy. But I've been thinking about it. And so in 2025, inshallah, with Allah's help, we're going to go back to the study of the Quran and Hadith intensely. And we're going to study it from a perspective of learning why do we do the things we do? Where did it come from? Was it actually passed down from the prophet, peace be upon him? But as our teachers on here could attest to, and I remember in grammar school being told something and passing it on, and by the time it got to the last person, it was completely distorted. And so we're going to dedicate some time to studying the Quran and the Hadith and the practices that we are now adopting or have adopted over the course of our journey and learning about Islam. So anyone on here listening right now, if you have dedicated any time to any particular subject, any particular hadith, any particular ritual that we do that you can support with authentic information, please contact me at fitra@msn.com because we want to learn more about, are we actually practicing al-Islam according to the way the Quran revealed to Prophet Muhammad was intended? Or have we picked up cultural nuances and rituals from others, but we're just not aware of it? And the mercy is that I just read that Allah says he does not judge us on perfection. He judges us on sincerity. So that is a mercy from God. So let's move on, and because we have two sisters that are doing great work on the West Coast, and let's give them this time because they have been preparing a great PowerPoint for us. Sister Cheryl and Sister Amatala, welcome to Study Al-Islam.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Fitra, and our brothers and sisters with Study Al-Islam.
And which one of you will be presenting first?
I'll just give a brief introduction because I really recognize Cheryl. And also, we have a third co-host, but he's not in the West Coast. But we want to acknowledge Brother Fleming El-Amin, who is the current president of American Coalition for Good Government. We, Cheryl and I, are co-hosts with Brother Fleming on the AM360 program, MAP 5, which is Muslim American Power 5. And this particular endeavor of ours with MAP 5 was the result of an invitation from Sister Latifa Hameen to participate in a town hall that AM 360 had. And so our board from like-minded people for social justice and the recognition of one humanity, Cheryl and I are members of that board. We decided that it would be good for the purposes that our organization was set up to do a program on the AM260 platform that would really ignite in the community more civic and political engagement. Now, Brother Fleming and Sister Cheryl are both individuals who have held public office. I haven't held public office. For like-minded people, our objective or our purpose, our mission statement, is to work for the recognition of our creation from God. The thing that we have in common, that all of us have in common, our humanity. And the reason that we initially came together is because it was right after the incident with George Floyd. And we wanted to look at dealing with the social unrest that we believe was a result of the rising tide of overt superiority, racial superiority that we found. So with Sister Latifah inviting me in November to participate with this town hall, I was with some two brother imams who have really done a lot of good work in the interfaith space and also in working with elected officials. And that was Imam Mikhail Shabazz and at the time Imam Mohajid from Ramadan from Las Vegas, Nevada. So the town hall was very good. I reported back to our board and we said, okay, maybe we need to further the agenda that we had set. We were going to look at dealing with communication outlets besides Muslim Journal to get our message out, which was predominantly when we started out, we wanted to breathe new life into the CRAVE message. Many of us who were a part of the founding board had been active in the CRAVE initiative. Imam Abu Qadr al-Amin, Imam Ayman Abdul Mujib, they were founding board members. Both of them have returned to Allah. May Allah forgive them their sins and grant them the highest reward in paradise. And then there was also Imam Yahya Shabazz, who has since retired from the board. He's relocated to the Mississippi area. So we decided that we would pivot. We were looking at reigniting the CRAVE movement. We would, and through the research that our board members had done, we were looking at the negative effects, and Brother Khalid Shah addressed this last week. We collaborated with him and consulted with him at the tremendous amount of violence that was stemming from the rap music. So we wanted a way to be able to encourage people to deal with positive messages in their creative spaces. And to do that, we realized that being a young organization, that we have to build relationships in the community with political figures, with other community leaders, to be able eventually to get to our message as far as we need to really look at the culture and the negative effects of the culture that is having on our youth. So we came up with doing a collaboration with ACGG. Brother Fleming agreed that he would be a co-host, and Cheryl and I were designated from our board members to be co-hosts. The show appears, we broadcast every Monday, 10 a.m. Pacific, which is 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And so it's myself, Sister Cheryl, and Brother Fleming, and we rotate. We have guests on that we have to discuss various areas in the civic and the political space. Allah has blessed us. We've had a state representative on. Last week we had technical difficulties, but we went ahead and we had Melissa Chaudhry, who is a congressional candidate, and she's up against Adam Smith, who has been very vocal, people may know, in Joe Biden stepping aside. He is about 90% funded by AIPAC, which is the Zionist arm that is very influential on our political figures in America today. So we had her on, and that was a very good program. We weren't able to do it on broadcast, but we, inshallah, we hope to get that uploaded so that the believers, especially in the Washington State area, will be able to listen to her and evaluate her as a candidate. Anyone who wants to listen to our program should call in to 515-605-9891. You can listen online at https://am360.org and press live. You see the information on the screen for those who are logged into the Zoom. And there's also a way for you to go back and look at episodes in the past through the streaming online, which is 24/7, and people can also leave comments. We had one participant last week that said, well, how come we don't know that much about Map 5, and we're trying to get the word out to more people so that we can increase our listening audience, and Allah has blessed us, and we're appreciative for the blessing that Allah has given us in the quality of the guests that have come on. This coming Monday, we will Sister Cheryl will be hosting, and she will have Dr. Delara Saeed, who is the founder or co-founder of the Muslim Civic Coalition, which is doing great work throughout the country. They're headquartered in Chicago, Illinois, but they're really promoting civic and political engagement, and these are the kind of organizations that we want to continue to collaborate with and to gain information and to really push forward our agenda as believers. We have been having some technical difficulty with Map 5, so if you call into the number that I gave and there's a problem, Blog Talk was sold at the beginning of the year. So there have been some kinks in the technical platform that they haven't been able to solve all the time. So sometimes we're not able to get on the AM360 platform. We use free conference call, and so you can call into 240-591-0209, and you enter the code 209075#. We'll put that in the chat so that people can have that. And also there is an online access that you can use also. Sister Cheryl is going to do the bulk of the heavy work in terms of our presentation today because I'm deferring to her. She's an expert in this area, having navigated, I believe she's had two, maybe three actual political campaigns. So she has been on the front line. My involvement has been really through the inspiration of the leadership of Imam Waruzuddin Muhammad. For those who have been in the community since Imam Muhammad in 1975 was determined to be the leader of the community, you know that we have had to undergo many, many, many shifts of our mindset. And this is why we, in the title of the program, we talked about civic engagement is really an inside job, meaning that you have to saw it from the inside and move out. We know that Imam Muhammad called us to a new world patriotism, and that requires us to have a new thought, a new intention. And so we hope that through the information that Sister Cheryl presents today, that all of us will be motivated, if you're already civically or politically engaged, to recommit, because we've been called to establish a new world patriotism and to remake the world. Those are big objectives that Imam Muhammad put out there for our community. The call to action that I'm going to make today to all of you as you listen to the information, consider this. Check your voter registration with your Secretary of State or your County Board of Elections. If you're registered to vote, you're in good shape, but if you're not already registered to vote, register to vote. This varies from state to state, so it's important that you check either the Secretary of State or the Board of Elections in your county. Once you register or you find that you're already registered, you have to study the ballot for the election. There are some places that are still doing primaries. Washington State has a primary coming up in August. I was just talking with a sister this morning, just in Tennessee. She was voting in a primary, and then they're going to have another election in November. So you have to study the ballot, know what your dates for your elections are, whether it's a primary or the final election, and research the candidates that are listed on your ballot. We've seen recently that the judicial candidates are really, really important because we see the Supreme Court has made some really significant rulings, and those are judges for the most part who have risen through the ranks. And then once you research the candidates, vote. Vote, vote, vote. You need to vote. If you're uncomfortable with the presidential and the vice presidential candidates, and we see that chaos has ensued as far as the Democrats are concerned, remember every candidate that's listed is important. Every position is important. Politics is local, especially you need to know who are your local candidates, what has been their history. So I'm going to pass the torch on to Sister Cheryl, who will give us more in-depth knowledge. I want to give a shout-out to Brother Fleming and ACGG, also to Brother Jimmy Small, Jimmy Salam with the Muslim League of Voters in New Jersey, who have been doing a great work in helping our community to be civically and politically involved. On the screen, I have the contact information for our organization, Like-Minded People for Social Justice. We'll put that in the chat, and I will pass the torch on to Sister Cheryl.
Gracias, Sister Anatola. I'm late on this one. I am just a heads up. If your volume is low, turn it up. I already have a low voice, but I'm also dealing with bronchitis this morning. So I would tell you to turn your volume as high up as you can get it so that you don't think something is happening to your computer. So turn it up so you can hear me. The information I'm going to give you is really important. I want to start, before I start the PowerPoint, I just want to say that we talk about change and progress and things like that as if it happens in this magical way. Like, it's going to happen, it's going to occur by happenstance. But the fact is, it happens based on our actions every day. It's what we do each month, each day, each year, and it's cumulative. So when we talk about civic engagement, is not what she's going to do or he's going to do or they are going to do. It's what you're going to do. And it's what you're going to do in every single aspect of your life. And that is what affects change. And it's these motions, it's these actions that's going to push us forward to affect real change. So as you listen, not only today, but in all of these presentations that have been given these past few weeks, it has this cumulative effect, and it's the brevity of the moment that can really change our lives and the lives of others around us. But I want you to keep that in mind as we talk about this thing we call change, as we look in the back and we start thinking about who's going to do it and who's going to lead. Let's get started. And please, as you sit and you listen, don't just sit and listen in the background. Listen with this intention and this want and desire to ask questions and be participatory at the end, because that's what this is. This is not us just speaking to you. So we are ready to get started. Think about knowledge is this. Knowledge is this thing that helps us through life. Life is complicated. Yet most often, the most innovative and effective solutions come from the most unexpected places and spaces. We have these things that we need to do, and just keep it simple. Life is, sometimes the questions are so complicated, but the answers really are simple. As someone who has been a leader, I've had many years of leadership, and I have learned that if we focus on the things that matter, it's in resolving the issues. So the best way to be civically engaged is to get to know the people, the issues, the needs, the regions, situations, the requirements, the budget, the priorities, the most mission-critical projects and the essential tasks, the contracts, the environment, the motivations and the hesitancies, the issues, the wins and the losses. Knowing the culture and the systems has been key. One of the major factors is to be able to accept the needs and determine the best fit for the input and to identify the few key critical steps to recommend changes and to know whether that those changes are going to be for process efficiency, reducing operational costs, improving interactions and experience for the community members. Then, once we know that, we can know who, what, when, why, and how, and we can focus on the big three things we need to make effective change. And that's usually the mindset, the skills, the tool set to have the right people in the right places with the right skills, tools, knowledge to do the right things with the right attitude for the right reasons. And that is how we develop effective policies and practices that benefit the people. And the people is always have to be at the forefront. As my mom has told me and taught me when I was younger, tiene dos de esos y uno de esos. Siempre tratar de utilizar las cosas que tiene dos de más a un menudo que el que solo tiene uno. In other words, I always try to listen and observe twice as much as I speak. And we train our community and our volunteers and any candidates to do the same. You listen. When we listen at every community town hall and every community interaction, you have to start the listening session. It's the only way to understand the community's concerns, the community's wants, the community's needs, and to develop a gap analysis. We listen not only to what is being said, yet also to what is not being said, to assist us in determining how best to serve communities and develop policy. As someone who is an elected representative and an appointed representative on both the state and regional level, listening is how we build and strengthen our relationships with our community and with one another. While creating alliances with like-minded people, it is one of the hardest skills to learn and the most important to possess. Without listening to our community and each other, we cannot enact effective policies or establish a nation that reflects the will. How do we accomplish this in a society that has been built on short attention spans and relying on microwave solutions? There's an old African proverb that says there's no way you can pour water into a basket and expect the water to remain. We get back to basics because education is key. Bad information, disinformation, lack of information, incorrect information, ignorance, pride, ego. We have to understand that those with the most benefit and those with the least. So if I have most, I have no incentive to educate you on the things that are holding you back, bringing you down, causing you suffering. It is better for me to keep letting you vote against your own interests because I continue to benefit. That's the way capitalism works. Somebody has to be on the bottom struggling for those on the top to prosper. To change this dynamic, we must get back to the basis of working in community and keeping it simple. We have to challenge ourselves. We have to listen. And we can't just listen to things that make us feel good. We have to listen to ideas and opinions that make us think. We have to observe. We have to do some introspection. We have to learn and unlearn. A little bit of history and an old tale. Well, doctor, what have we got? A republic or a monarchy? A republic if you can keep it. An old story, Mrs. Powell of Philadelphia reportedly asked this question to Benjamin Franklin, who had just taken part in the secret deliberation of the Constitutional Convention of 1787. And his response underscores what we as citizens of the United States have in maintaining this, what has been called the experiment of. And this is the underpinning of what we call civic engagement. Today's young adults are less engaged in civic and political activities than their predecessors were 30 years ago. One likely reason is that other aspects of young adulthood have also changed dramatically. So as a result, it's not surprising that voting and other forms of civic engagement are also being delayed. But what that does is that they lose political and civic influence and the opportunity to develop these skills and networks. You can't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to run for office if you haven't honed these skills. Unfortunately, it is just not the young. Civic engagement has faded for decades on all Americans. How do we reinvigorate this sense of civic engagement, and how do we make sure everyone understands that the importance of it? One of my favorite quotes is from German philosopher Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, and he says that if I accept you as you are, I will make you worse. However, if I treat you as though you are capable of becoming, I help you become that. Too many of us walk around saying, I don't believe in politics. I don't want to participate in politics. But I will tell you that you don't have to be interested in politics. You don't have to participate, but I will tell you that you are going to be affected by politics one way or the other, and politics is interested in you. And your non-participation means someone is making the decisions for you. There's a saying that says, si no está sentada en esa, no se puede establecer las prioridades, o no está sentada en esa. Alguien se ordenada para usted. If you are not seated at the table, you cannot establish the priority, or if you are not seated at the table, someone else is ordering for you, or you're on the menu. So, what do we do? What I've learned from many years of leadership is focusing on the things that matter will aid in resolving the issue. So, the best way to be civically engaged is to give people, and how we retrain and we learn the things that are missing, and many people don't know that. So what I said before is we have to teach people where we want them to be, not where they are or where they think they are. So we're going to give them some skills to make sure they're educated, equipped, they have the ethical basis, encouraged, empowered, impassioned. I know how to spell, just for those who don't think I don't know that impassioned doesn't start with an E. I call it the E7 concept. Let's talk civic engagement. There's four main constructs of civic engagement which work together to make a difference in the life of your community. Civic action or participation activities like volunteering or service learning to better the community, civic commitment or civic duty, the willingness to make positive contributions to the community or society, civic skills or the ability to be involved in civil society or politics or democracy, and social, which is like your sense of reciprocity, trust, or bonding with other people. Why does it matter? Because community voice and community engagement is the key to creating change. It's what strengthens our democracy. It also breeds that sense of personal empowerment on an individual level by helping people understand their connection to a greater society. When you unite under a shared purpose, you build trust and empathy in that human connection, and you have a strong support base for finding and implementing solutions in your community. And when you do it on your community level, it has a greater impact on the society level. Let's take a look at a case study. And I will tell you that I grew up in Missouri, so this one really kind of hit home for me. In St. Charles, Missouri, which is a suburb of North St. Louis County, there was a city council meeting. The Missouri Department of Transportation in January 21, they had a project to create these one-way roads in some St. Charles neighborhoods, which would potentially affect the local businesses and their property value. In August of 21, they held a town hall community forum with Missouri Department of Transportation.
on the officials and the state representatives, they listened directly to 100 community members. In December 21, one of the state representatives organized this huge conference call with the Missouri Lieutenant Governor and the Deputy Commissioner for Missouri Department of Transportation to further discuss the road system project. Because of the input of all of those people in the town hall, in February of 22, the Missouri Department of Transportation abandoned that one-way project and accepted a bid from a construction company that would keep the two-way road. According to the Department of Transportation, this is the first time that they've ever paused the project or redefined their goals because of community feedback from the residents, business owners, and elected officials. Why is that important? Because community voice and community engagement is the key to creating change. These are, Amatala mentioned earlier about a Muslim Civic Coalition, and we'll talk about them again in a few minutes. But those are the kind of changes that demonstrate community voice. I want to talk to you about, in this next example, I'm going to talk to you about this over a century-old organization in Mumbai, India. They're called the Dabbawalas. And they have created, they had a situation where community stated these men centuries ago saw a need in their community. And they not only created a solution on a civic level, they created what has become known as one of the world's greatest reliable, not just community service, but corporate client services. Let's listen in.
Mumbai has over 18 million people. The city is unpredictable. But amidst this chaos, there is one thing that is nearly 100% reliable. It's your lunch delivery. The Dabbawalas of Mumbai are an institution. A Dabbawala is a guy who delivers homemade lunches.
My name is Kiran Gawande, and I'm a Dabbawala. I joined the business, and I'm working for 12-13 years. In Bombay, we have to reach 2 lakh Dabbawalas a day. The cycle and train, we have to reach 2 lakh Dabbawalas a day.
This is how the system works. The Dabbawala comes to your home and picks up your lunch. He goes to the train station where all the other lunches are. They are sorted and then delivered out into the city to be dropped off at your office. You eat it, the Dabbawala comes, picks it up, and brings your lunchbox back home. That's the key word, home. These aren't takeout delivery guys. They're delivering you a meal straight from your kitchen. This system, while seemingly rudimentary, has been recognized as one of the most efficient logistics systems in the world. Dabbawalas have an accuracy of 99.99% in their deliveries. Per million transactions, less than 4 mistakes are made.
The most important thing is that the code on the code. What is the code? It means that some numbers are added, some color combination is added. गलती मतलब कि कोड डब्बे के ऊपर इतना परफेक्ट डाला हुआ है कि उससे गलती होने की कोई संभावना ही नहीं.
Crisscrossing side streets on bikes, balancing trays that weigh almost 150 pounds on their head, this group of 5,000 men, they helped define the city.
बॉम्बे में कम से कम उसको 125 साल हो गए. ये सिस्टम और किसी दूसरे जगह पे नहीं चला. थोड़ा सा हार्ड वर्क तो है तो आदमी मतलब थोड़ा सा सकता है लेकिन ये वो अगले दिन वापस एक नए जोश से स्टार्ट हो जाता है.
These guys are out there 6 days a week, monsoon or shine. Life in Mumbai, it can be chaotic. Your train might be late, your power might go out, but damn it, your lunch will be on time.
They keep it simple. They kept it simple. they have kept it simple. The thing about the double wallahs that made it such a logistical, beautiful thing is that they saw an issue and they solved it with what civic engagement. Civic engagement is the ability to create a solution by, let's start with just being engaged in your community. Do you or have you served on the school board or PTA? Do you serve on a local state commission? Are you a member of or volunteer with a local charity? Do you read a newspaper or a quarterly newspaper from your municipality? Do you vote local elections? Here's your first assignment. Have you served on the school board or PTA? Have you been a local official? Have you been on a state commission or a local commission? Have you been a commission? Put it in the chat if you have. I'm interested in seeing how many of you have been doing some of this work already in your community. Just let us know. Let us track you. Or are you running for election now? Are you interested in running for election? Put it in the chat. Let's see what we get, who we have in the audience right now. Maybe not. You know, life comes at you fast and hard. You know, your family work and other obligations. And sometimes it's hard to find that time. Yet it's really important, Dr. Duke, so that you can exercise your voice and your rights in the society. So what does civic engagement even mean? We hear this word all the time. The technical definition, and I throw it on screen, I'm not going to read it to you because I take it we can all read, but I will tell you this part, that it's a morally and civically responsible individual. They recognize that in himself or herself, that as a member of a larger social fabric, that when you consider social problems to be at least partly her or his own, that you're willing to see the moral and civic dimensions of issues and to make and justify informed moral and civic judgments and to take action when it's appropriate. That's what being civically engaged means. And there's lots of ways to get involved. Political participation, through voting, voter registration, being an election judge, educating other people on government and history, volunteering, advocating for legislation, representing others in by appointment or election, running for office. And so many other ways, mentoring, doing the work. Think about it. How do you want to move a needle on an issue? Is there an issue that you feel really strongly about? Consider how well you know your community, how well you know the issue. Is there something that's happening in your neighborhood that you feel really strongly about? Do your neighbors know you? Do you know your neighbors? Do you know the owners of the neighborhood shops and restaurants? Is there an issue at your children's school that you want to participate in or they want you to participate in? It's at the masjid in your neighborhood. Do you know your local government? Have you met those who are in charge? Do you know who's in charge of making decisions? The commission, the board, and how they make those decisions. Do you know who's in charge of who runs for what office? Have you met them? Whether you're interested in being a national leader or getting involved in your state, leadership starts locally and it radiates out. So to expand your network and understand the local challenges, you need to know how your local government and how your city works. Have you interacted with your local elected officials, county supervisors, your city councilors or aldermen, trustees, school board members, utility board members, your special district, water boards? Have you investigated what structures in your town influence who runs for office or who makes the decision? In some states, there's these self-appointed caucuses. Have you considered being an election judge or a census advisory committee person? Have you developed your financial acumen? Most people have no idea how city budgets are crafted. And part of being a leader at any level is developing a financial acumen and knowing where to focus your time and energy. Reviewing the finances of your city or town is a great focus for your policy circle. You have to know where the money is, where the money's coming in, and where the money's going. Have you looked at your state or your city's finances? Do you know the budget? The finances of your, even where you work or the nonprofit where you volunteer. Do you know how to read a P&L, profit and loss statement? Do you know the most vulnerable, how in your community? The most vulnerable in the community are also likely to be the most overlooked. So caring for your neighbors in need and families in crisis in the community at large is the kind of work that's done on the ground. But it is also the key to being able to connect the dots and to foster these connections and make an impact. Part of this entails knowing and understanding the services that are provided to people with disabilities and veterans and immigrants. Advocacy organizations that help people with mental health issues or who are living in impoverished conditions or houselessness or are youth or elderly. Do you know who those organizations are? Have you built a network of community influencers? Civic leaders are not lone riders. They've built this broad network of people with various expertise and focuses and backgrounds. They can demonstrate their abilities by assuming roles in networks related to their professions or their expertise, and then ensuring that these roles are properly filled. This involves knowing how to play a leadership role in your community. There's some real strong values that to be in civic engagement, you got to have the trust and respect of your community, and you have to trust and respect them. You're creating agency and power in people. It's always about the people. It's not about you. You got to nurture and foster a healthier, stronger places to live, and you got to promote transparency and participation. People who are engaged in their community, they tend to be more interested and invested in that community, because the role is less about them and more about the community. What are the obstacles? Lack of civility, lack of attention to public affairs, lack of role models, lack of civic and political skill, and the lack of awareness. So why are we talking about it right now? Because this is what seems to happen. People have an overinflated view of how much they really know about civic engagement. That little white one, this is things I know I know. These are the things I know is a light gray. This is what I think I know. But in reality, that black one, the things I don't know, is what keeps us from really understanding not just qualities, but things, period. Only 21 states in the United States require end-of-course credit to graduate from high school. And that students who pass a test drawn from the 100 test items to become a U.S. citizen can't pass it. Do you know that only 39% of Americans can correctly name the three branches of government in the United States? It's appalling. Our civic education used to be a part of your basic education in middle and high school, and it is no longer that. But to be an effective citizen, a voter, and a member of our communities, we have to start providing students in our communities with a basic understanding of how the democratic process works. This is why you have people thinking that the president has all of these powers that they do not have. Why Congress has power that they do not have. We have a nation that has anemic civic health, and why the outcome of elections are the way that they are. We need to have a basic understanding, not just our civic responsibility, but about civics and government on its basic level. I'm going these ones are a little fun so that you can understand just how bad it is.
Now, if a Canadian like Pamela can answer all these questions correctly, shouldn't the average American, shouldn't people born here know that? Do we take our citizenship for granted? People work hard to become Americans. They study. I'm going to show you these are some of the actual 100 questions on the test. We went down to Universal Studios, and we just asked people these questions to see if they could remain American citizens. Take a look. We're talking with
Debbie.
Debbie, where are you from?
South San Francisco.
South San Francisco. And you're a citizen of the United States?
I sure am.
Born here?
Sure was.
What country did we fight in the Revolutionary War?
France.
What was the emancipation?
The Emancipation Proclamation?
No, the Emancipation Proclamation. What did it do?
I don't know.
You've heard of it?
I have heard of it.
Freed the slaves.
It did. Yeah, that's what it is.
If the president and the vice president died, who would then become president?
The Secretary of State.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. No. Jacob, what do you do?
I work in the financial services.
Financial services industry. United States citizen, are you?
Yes, sir.
In what month do we vote for president?
In the fall. October, September.
Yeah. You work in the financial, I guess you're so busy with the finance.
Yeah, I'm really busy working.
And what special group advises the president?
Special group.
He meets with these people.
He meets, yes, he does. Special group. His inner group.
Immigration, you want to take this man away, please? Linda, what do you do?
I'm a school teacher at Orange Center Elementary in Fresno, California.
And you're a citizen of the United States,
yes,
correct?
I am.
When was the Declaration of Independence adopted? Still awake?
Yes.
Who said, give me liberty or
give
me
death?
Well, that's very dramatic a portrayal. I like to hear.
I'm not good with names, only my own and my students.
Okay, well, you should. But that's you. Now, if a student said that to you, I'm not good with names, you would give them an F. Now, come on. Who said, give me liberty or give me death? I give you a hint.
Bonaparte.
Yes. Bonaparte? He's not even American. Where are you from? Now, if a Canadian.
I just want to show you just a little bit of that. I can't. Very quickly, how a bill becomes a law is also something that most people don't understand. They think that we have presidents who can just make things happen with a pen, even though presidents have some ability to sign things. There's a very complicated process to taking a bill from an idea to a law. And the founders made it that way. They made it complicated because there's potential bill debt at every corner to keep the checks and balances into the process. The preamble of the Constitution begins with "We the people," because the people are the keepers of the republic. Last couple ones, and that requires us to be actively involved on every level, federal, state, and local. The people hold the power. It doesn't matter by any of these titles, any of them. We the people are the ones that have to, when we elect candidates, when we put candidates up to offer, when we stand behind them, we must remember that it's not about the candidate, it is about the people. They are elected representatives. Forget their title. The real title is they are representative of the people. So it's imperative that we set and maintain the highest standards for ourselves as representatives and the representatives themselves. We're not obligated to them. They're obligated to us. Same values that we expect of ourselves. We need to have unwavering values for those candidates. And the most important is character. We begin and end with integrity, honor, reliability, commitment to quality, and trust. And lastly, leadership is by example. Simple philosophy. Listen with curiosity. Speak with honesty. Act with integrity. Courage, faith, and honor will stand when heroes fail. Together we can find a solution or we will create one. For your time. Yes,
hello. Thank you, Sister Cheryl.
Yes, ma'am.
Sister, I know we're kind of tight on time, but if anyone has a question, maybe Sister Marsha can direct them to us.
Actually, I want to say, first of all, thank you to both of you. I think that I would definitely be deported along with those other people. I hate to say that. But I was trying to see if I had the answer to those questions, and God, my answers were even worse. I came up with some other people. But Allah knows best. This shows us what we need. There is no doubt to both of you that we need more civic engagement, information, and encouragement and knowledge. I don't think there's any one better than to provide this to our community than the two of you along with Fleming. Fleming, we have given you sharing rights. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I can't leave you out. I do want you to have a last words, very short, because we are running out of time, but I couldn't leave you out as a third party. And so just introduce yourself very quickly.
As-salamu alaykum. Thank you very much, Sister Petra, my sister al-Islam. I just want to compliment our two presenters. They did a fantastic job. Just remember what Imam Muhammad told us about our obligation as citizens, and that we find in the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. Very simply put, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among normal life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is the essence of America. Let's do our part civically to make sure that happens to all of us. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. And just Fleming, come back for a second.
Right.
He disappeared too that quickly. And you are the president of?
American Coalition for Good Government, established in 1997 by Imam Muhammad in Charlotte, North Carolina.
And for the purpose of?
For the purpose of engaging us with other organizations and establish ongoing relationships in a coalition basis to promote the best ideas of America, to be civically engaged and held responsible for our duties as citizens.
And so, inshallah, in 2025, I'm trying to encourage more programming on civic engagement, on Study al-Islam. And so I will, this is an open invitation to the three of you. I'm going to work this out with Sister Matala, who has been just a gem in this community. Do we have any hands? Yes, Mahasin, please go ahead. We have 2 minutes. You have one second.
No. I had to unmute. Greetings to you, Sister Petra, and thank you for this forum. It's wonderful. Greetings to the panelists. My question was just what you just asked. What would be the plans or the recommendation of MAP 5 to provide or institute or encourage certification courses in all masjids in civic engagement and understanding about operations of government?
Just really quick, I was actually going to put it in chat. Sister Matala and I talked about it, and Brother Fleming and I have been going back and forth. I really wanted to find out what would be the interest. My call to action is what would be the interest in attending a civic engagement, not civic engagement.
And then also I would go to Fleming, and I have also talked about we need to increase the number of masajid and Islamic centers that have a coordinator that can interact with ACGG so that the whole nation is informed in what is going on with the different organizations that ACGG is making coalitions with and campaigns. Like Brother Fleming, he is on the road all the time with the Poor People's Campaign, not only just in North Carolina, but nationally with interfaith groups. So we need to get that information out and to get people in other locales to interact with what ACGG is doing. And we hope to promote more of that with MAP 5 and like-minded people for social justice. We're all about coalition building and establishing those relationships locally and nationally.
But I want to add the responsibility on the families, not
yes.
so much on the meshes and the organization. If you have a young person who is interested in politics, get them connected with Brother Fleming. Get them connected on Study Al-Islam, and we will connect them. Because what we don't want to do is miss someone that may not be in the masjid. Everybody is not in the masjid. Right. And so the earth is a masjid. And I want to just say to the parents, you know your children. If you know that, if you recognize their leadership abilities, then let us help encourage them, give them the support that they need and the knowledge that they need in order to prepare them to be to get involved in the political system. There's no three better people than the three that you have right before you. So please, let's not, this is not the responsibility of the masjid. And I'm not taking anything away from the masjid. I'm just saying, you know your babies at home. You know your young people at home. Now they have a support system that can help encourage them. You don't have to do it. It takes a village to raise children, adults, our community. Yes, Cheryl.
I actually, when I leave here starting today, I do a five-hour, so you want to run for office on Sunday here in Contra Costa County. And I'm actually putting together one that will be online. So I absolutely, let me co-sign what you're saying. When you see something in someone, my daughter's the one who told me, when you see a talent in your child, I'm also a scientist, so I mentor young girls. I was in Philadelphia last week speaking at UPenn to girls and women in science. And so when you see someone with a talent, like I said, my daughter's the one who told me that it wasn't that she's a genius or anything. It's just it was nurtured, right? We saw her talent in science. We saw her talent in gymnastics, and we nurtured it. So if you see something in your child, as Sister Feature was saying, if you don't nurture it, they're not getting the opportunity that someone else child is getting because it was nurtured. So if you see that they're a leader, even if it's in Girl Scouts, you know, they have a leader in their basketball team or whatever it is, that leadership skill can be nurtured to be a leader somewhere else, not just in that particular instance. So send them to us. Let us talk to them.
And on that note, we're going to have to close. It's after 11 o'clock. But again, I do want to say, I want to reiterate what Cheryl just said. If they have any leadership abilities, we are here to support. I just want everyone to know that the newsletter is going to be discontinued. You will not be receiving a newsletter, but you will, in its place, will be receiving a weekly, actually you're going to receive it twice a week, a notice of the schedule of events on Study Al-Islam. So you'll be receiving it on Wednesday and then again on Saturday as a reminder. On Saturday, you will have the picture and bio of who the speaker will be so you can be familiar with them. And on Wednesday, you will get the monthly schedule of Study Al-Islam. What I'm trying to do is dedicate more time to the website. I will be going onto the website and updating a lot of the information, driving everyone to the website. We have a community directory where everybody who has been a speaker on Study Al-Islam is there for you to contact and know by categories. If you would like to have your bio and resume placed on Study Al-Islam, please send it to me at Study Al-Islam at fitra@msn.com. And lastly, I do want you to know that we are planning in the month of August on preserving our history through community development and other means of preserving our history as Muslim African Americans in our community. So we're going to have several speakers that are going to share with you how they are preserving our history so we can give you some support and encouragement and ideas on how to preserve our history as we move forward. and make these major contributions to community life and to the betterment and to the continuation of history in our community, documenting all of these things. Forgive me, I don't know how that happened. So with that said, let's close out, Imam Omar, because it is over time, and inshallah, I'll see you guys next Sunday.
ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. O God, let not our hearts deviate, now that you have guided us, but grant us mercy from thee. For you are the grantor of bounties unmeasured. Amen.
Amen. Imam Omar, we thank you so much for always being here with us every week to open and close for us. You are very dear to our hearts. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. See everyone next week. Inshallah.
The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
Alhamdulillah, all the praises due to Almighty God. Allah, we are grateful to those of you that tune in for the broadcast study at Islam. I had to play that liability clause so that we stay in compliance with the FCC rule, that is Federal Communication Commission. Praise be to Allah. Wonderful broadcast. We are grateful to host MAP 5 here on American Muslim 360. In connection with what Imam Muhammad has shared with us, he expressed the concept of shared freedom space are those areas within our life that we all share with each other. The shared freedom space are tax dollars support public entities, public spaces. And he mentioned a word concerning our rights. He mentioned the word of vouchsafed. Vouchsafed. If your rights are not vouchsafed, then there is no protection for you. We must educate ourselves as to our political and governmental rights. So if there is anyone that would like to share their commentary at this time, I ask you to press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic, inshallah. Okay. Error code 314833. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Mark Shaheed from St. Louis, Missouri.
Assalamu alaikum to you, Kareem Hamid, and to your very astute radio listening audience at AM360 Radio. I want to say alhamdulillah that the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost, always, and want to commend AM360, CWSC, and also Study Al-Islam for the collaboration so that, you know, this information and education can be far-reached in our community. And I want just to express my appreciation for that first and foremost. You know, this is an excellent presentation, really excellent presentation in terms of civic engagement. And there was a lot of things that were said. I just want to just touch on a couple real quickly, because I know you may have other people who want to say something. But those persons that have the mindset, I don't want to engage in politics, I don't trust politics or even politicians, that's all the reason why you should be engaged. And when you don't trust people that are running for positions and they're not servant leaders, that's all the reason why you should be engaged and have the interest. And actually, Imam Muhammad, as you know, Kareem, he's the one that really initiated that in our community, because he's on record for saying once that he was thinking about running for president of the United States. But this was a psychology that Imam Muhammad was using to ignite in our mind to be engaged and have that interest. And boy, wouldn't it be good that in this upcoming election that we would have that type of representation that represent not only the principles and values of Muslims, but also right-minded people. There's not the morality in policy. And so from birth to death, it is policy, the politics, from the time that we get here to the time we leave here. And there are actually laws and everything that are constructed in this country. And if we're not in favor of those things, but then we don't utilize our voice, then we have nothing to complain about, you see. So it actually would, actually, I think, impregnate this country with the principle and values, because they are shared. When you talk about shared a freedom space, it also, we should attach with that shared responsibility, shared social responsibility that we all are to undertake. And this is not, what is the Imam saying? He's saying that this, you know, in terms of the Quran, in terms of how Allah created us, Allah is the one that gives us the freedom to be responsible for ourselves, others, and for the environment. And that includes the social environment. Well, I could say a lot about that. But, you know, what was so funny, Kareem, is when she shared that, when he was asking the question, I have to be honest, I didn't care for history nor science when I was in school, but Allah blessed me to be a good reader and to be able to read into things. I was an A student, but I didn't have an interest per se, but I could answer those questions. And you remember one was a teacher that came on and didn't know what the Declaration of Independence was. They didn't realize, you know, but they're a teacher. July 4, 1776, and if we remember 1976, this country had a big celebration, the 200th anniversary of the birth of this country and all. And so if something happened to the president and the vice president, who would be next in charge? It would be the Speaker of the House. The Speaker of the House, you see. It never has come down to that. We had a president assassinated. We had Franklin Delano Roosevelt that died in his fourth term in office, where Truman became president. But the Speaker of the House, and that's the House of Representatives, would be the next one in charge. And who was it saying, give me freedom or give me death? That was Patrick Henry. Now, I don't claim to be no historian or claim to be smart in history, because I didn't, to be honest, I didn't care for it. But you had to learn it to be able to pass the test. And so my mother always wanted to give your best effort in everything. And because I was a good reader, you know, I had to learn those things. But those are simple questions that was asked. But the average American, I think that they would be really challenged to be able to answer them correctly. I could say more, but I'm going to stop there. I just wanted to just share that. But understand that we all have social responsibility. And that social responsibility is engagement, civic engagement, being a part of policy, constructing policy that will help to promote, as Imam Muhammad say, a just and ethical human society for all people. I'll stop there. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum as-salam. Thank you, Mark. Praise be to Almighty God for your commentary. Most enlightening. You know, I remember the educational system in this country. They had classes on civics. They have removed that. I heard a politician say, I love the uninformed voter. You know?
Say that again, Kareem.
He said, I love the uninformed voter. And he said that at a large rally in front of people. And they cheered. Yeah. I said, oh, my God. You know, praise be to Allah. So
this seemed like a person that wanted to take advantage of. When you're uninformed or you're ignorant, you're very gullible, very vulnerable to be taken advantage.
That's right.
You can tell them anything.
Well, I won't mention his name, but I will say this. He is running once more for the presidency of the United States. Stop right there, my brother. Yes,
you
sir.
I love the uniform. How about that?
Right. So, and all politics is local. How will it affect you locally? So we must stay engaged. We usually get excited every 4 years for the presidency of the United States, but we know there are down ballots, you know, that affect your location where you are. You must educate yourself as to who is running for what and what is the result that they're aiming at. And there's one more thing. You know, I don't mean to endorse anyone, but Mark, as you know, we are engaged in a campaign effort here in St. Louis for Congress. There is a candidate, Jeffrey Bell, and there is the present Congresswoman Cori Bush. I hope that we educate ourselves. You know, we need to know who is funding your campaign. See, that is another thing that we need to look into. Who is funding your campaign? If you are able to afford considerable airtime in prime time, that is very expensive.
Oh, yeah.
So I do know that AIPAC have said that they are going to primary the squad. There are those four individuals in Congress that are very progressive. And Cori Bush is in that group called the squad. So I'm just saying...
But you know something else too. Yeah, that's very important in terms of the funding, because they know and recognize over the years whoever's voice can be heard most frequently and all. And it's all about, a lot of times when you listen to it, it's just mudslinging a lot of times, but bringing up this and bringing up that, not really quantifying what it is that's being said. So that leads to this other thing that's most important that, you know, that I gleam to be very important. We need to know, get back to policy again. What is the platform that these candidates are standing up on that will directly or indirectly affect you and your local community? And all, you see, that's why the education that they were speaking about in Study Out Islam is very, very important. And most of us, we just stand on the platform. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican, and we don't even know
we don't even know the platform. We don't know the platform and turn this down. And for us, our young people, I've coined this phrase, that if we want our young people to evolve, they must be involved. That's very important. But we must be involved. I'll stop there.
Another caller. Thank you, Mark, for your enlightening commentary. Praise be to Allah. We thank Allah for you. Okay, I'm opening up the mic of 727-741. Assalamu alaikum. Martha Naila Abdullah, Executive Director of the Community-Wide Shura Conference.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so very, very much. Oh, I feel like I'm the politician coming on. greetings of peace to everyone, and I seek refuge with Almighty God as the protector, the creator and the protector of all of our thoughts and actions. But praise be to Almighty God. Thank you, Kareem and Mark and everyone listening. I want to promote CWSC's collaboration with every entity that is connected with Imam Waris Deen Muhammad Rahim Allahulay, any area that's studying al-Islam for the purpose of educating the community on the real true human life, human development, human spirit, and how we're connected, because that's what came out this morning on Study al-Islam, another part of our development. And with that, we want to invite everyone, please go to cwsc.us, please, and be involved in what we are promoting. We have one area that's called What If. What If? And if you read through that, you will it offers opportunity for you to promote an idea or share an idea for the think tank process, and you'll be part of the group intellect so that we can continue our efforts of the 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning Initiative, Faith and Family. And we just completed the second part of our development, which is economics. We thank Allah for Graceline. Edward Willis of Dallas, Texas, shared last night. But last evening we had to go to our alternative conference line, which is may I give the number now?
Alternative, yes, please.
Number. Okay. The alternative number, because Block Talk was purchased or bought out back in the early part of the year, this year. And so there are certain kinks that they're still trying to straighten out. So the number is 240-591-0209. And the code is 209-075-POUND. Again, the code is 209-075-POUND. I know when Amatila was giving the number, I don't think she gave the conference the code there, but maybe it came out afterwards. And we're using that so that you can stay connected with us, and we're going to be utilizing Google Meet. So for those who have the computer and are able to come on, it's easier for me when I'm functioning as the host to use Google Meet. So we're going to, and Latifa Hameen, the CEO of AM360, has more ideas, of course. But right now, CWSC is truly promoting the Hijra calendar, and we're operating in those months connected with the levels of development of the ascension. You can learn more about that, I'm sure, in your time. But the months of the Hijra calendar aligned with the ascension in the areas where Imam Waris Deen Muhammad recommended, education, economic, go forward, inshallah. And that's the 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning Initiative, is 50 years ahead of us, whatever that looks like. Connect, as I said, the what if. And then 50-year commemoration is being talked about now, and planning is in place. So if you want to get connected, if you're in an area where they're studying al-Islam, I'm saying that intentionally rather than saying Islamic centers, please, by all means, ask the question about the commemoration for Imam Waris Deen Muhammad Rahimahullah, as 2025 will be 50 years when we elected him into office. Thank you, Corrine. Alhamdulillah. Oh, and I didn't say when we're having the town halls every Saturday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Every Saturday to Allah. The doors are open. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. And I want to invite the listening audience to tune into American Muslim 360 for the broadcast of MAP 5. MAP 5 is an acronym for Muslim American Power of Five. It is hosted by our beloved sister, Matala Alaji, that you heard this morning, and the Honorable Cheryl Sadouf, and our beloved brother, Fleming El-Amin. It airs 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. We gave a wonderful presentation, and also I want to give a heads up on a presentation that shall be shared on Study El-Islam. It is a conversation with Dr. Malina Abdullah. She's a 2024 Vice Presidential candidate. It'll be hosted by Study El-Islam and Muslim American Power of Five. That is June 23rd, 2024. Praise be to Almighty God, God Allah. So, alhamdulillah, we want to be educated. We want to take control of our lives and control of our families, our communities, every environment that we exist. We want to make our contribution to establishing a more ethical and verdant society. Praise be to Allah. Is there anyone else that would like to share? If not, this brings this broadcast to a close, and we are grateful to collaborate with the Study of Islam platform each and every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Praise be to Almighty God Allah, and we look forward to your presence this evening for this upcoming broadcast that we are very proud of. Praise be to Allah. And hold on, let me play that promo for the upcoming broadcast of Contemplations of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the Contemplations of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on American Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad here on American Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, we are sharing from out of a four-volume collection of the Ramadan sessions of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, and we share that content here on American Muslim 360. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. So
I apologize.
Yes,
I forgot to say 12 p.m. right here on AM 360, we are to have the United Ta'aleem every third Sunday.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, thank you for that update. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Okay, we come to you each and every broadcast with Allah's name, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with the name Allah of Allah, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. We bear witness that there is no God save Allah alone, and that there's nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. And we further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. Alayhi salam. May we remain grateful, remain thankful, and stay cognizant of our humble beginnings. That leads us to gratitude and thankfulness. I bring you now the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatim. We got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, sailing and prayer, met espresso and coffee as I stumbled down the stairs. Tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls can keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, and off to work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and little helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He say, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to Cubs, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
they gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
they gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life for the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives.
Yeah, they gotta be thankful. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.